Okay, I got a housing and a rental story for you today. Well, I don't. James Rodriguez does, real estate correspondent at Business Insider. He's our go-to for this stuff. James, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Apparently, there's like a little window open right now to perhaps ask your landlord to lower your rent. Does this depend on where you live, or is this kind of a universal thing we're seeing right now?
Yeah, as always, it does depend on where you live, unfortunately. But for the past couple of years, apartment developers have been building a ton of new units. In fact, 1.1 million new units, which is the most in a two-year span since the mid-1980s. So in places, especially in the Sun Belt, places like Austin, Denver, Phoenix, we're actually seeing renters get some big deals right now, whereas in the Midwest, Northeast, inventory is still fairly tight. So it is a little bit of a mixed bag, generally seeing tenants get some more power here.
Okay, so let's say Chicago, we're not necessarily right in this picture right now, but there are a lot of people I see saying, hey, I asked my landlord to split the difference. I saw a jump this much. I couldn't believe how much they were doing it, and we talked it out a little bit. I guess it depends on the landlord and whether you're dealing with a big company or whether you're dealing with maybe more of a mom-and-pop landlord. I guess it never hurts to ask, James.
Yeah, and the thing is, landlords are really keen to avoid all the costs that come with turnover. I talked to one property manager, a big property management company, that said, you know, a thorough turn will run, you know, $1,500 these days, and that doesn't account for the vacancy involved with a unit. And so those are big costs involved, and we're seeing people generally moving around less because hiring is down. It's a tougher economy for people, and so landlords are really keen on keeping tenants in place, and that's where you see some of this deal making happen, is when someone says, look, I don't want to move, but I also see better deals around. Can we work something out? And so I talked to a couple of renters who ended up doing that and ended up saving, you know, hundreds of dollars or hundreds of dollars per month in some cases.
Yeah, well, I imagine if you've been there a while too, and you've proved yourself to be a good tenant, the landlord, like, that's gold to a landlord. At the same time, they're facing rising home insurance counts that they're paying more. We're all paying more in homeowners insurance. Real estate taxes usually only go up, and they continue to do that across the area. So I imagine that works to a certain extent until the plus minus just doesn't work out for the landlord. And they say, I know you've been great, but I can't lose money on this investment of mine. And I got to raise your rent no matter what you say.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I was stuck with here is that it's really not an easy situation for landlords too. Most landlords are so-called mom and pop landlords that maybe own one or a handful of properties. And they've seen costs for everything from repairs, carpet, paint, all of that stuff is more expensive. We saw rents rise a lot during the pandemic, but, you know, costs have risen as well. And yeah, there's a lot of value to keeping a good tenant in place, but it is, you know, in a lot of cases, I think margins are fairly thin right now.
Yeah. I keep on hearing from our friends in the real estate business, optimism. They're trying their best to be optimistic. There is just like so little inventory in some spots. And again, this is regional too. Chicago has seen pretty good housing appreciation of costs. In fact, we've been like the number one on the Case-Shiller index, one or two for now a couple of years, which used to be unheard of, James, here in Chicago. So the prices are still going up, but we just don't have a lot of inventory. And that, and you couple that with the mortgage interest rate, of course, those things are probably related too. And what's supposed to be like a heating up market right now, it's summertime, springtime. Boy, we could have a weird summer, couldn't we?
Yeah, this was something that I wrote about a month ago, basically, which is that a lot of people are coming into this year with optimism. They were seeing rates coming down, seeing potentially a perfect scenario for people to get moving again. And what we've seen, you know, rates did, the typical mortgage rate did fall briefly below 6%, which was a big milestone. It was something that people were really looking forward to. That happened in February, and then we had the Iran war start and a lot more economic uncertainty. So it's been more of a mixed bag. We've seen the typical rate actually rise from around 6% to 6.7%, which is a pretty meaningful difference that could be hundreds of dollars per month on a mortgage payment, depending on how expensive your house is. And so that's a meaningful change. And you add in uncertainty around, you know, people are seeing it at the gas pump. They're feeling it with uncertainty around their jobs as well, because hiring isn't running as hot. And so it's shaping up to be a weird summer. You know, on the other hand, you pointed to the inventory in the Midwest that really, you know, one survey really stuck with me, which is a survey of Coldwell Banker agents, which showed this geographic split. 70% of agents in the Midwest said that they were in seller's markets compared to a mere 13% in the South. And so I think didn't see that inventory increase as much, you know, in places like Chicago, because builders are really focused on places like Austin or, you know, Phoenix. But now you're seeing the flip side of that, which is it's kind of a game of musical chairs. So if someone's not moving, then that doesn't really, it makes it tough for, you know, a buyer to move into their move up home, et cetera. And, yeah, it's tough when there's not inventory. It really does have a chilling effect on the market.
Yeah, it's too bad because, you know, there's so many people when the prices went up so much right after COVID, just assuming that they would go down at some point or flatten out. And I mean, in some areas, we've definitely seen that, not here. And you often, I see this discourse online as well, just like pray for the housing crash without, you know, and maybe that's good for one buyer, but a big housing crash is usually symptomatic then of something big and greater in the economy. And the person wishing for that housing crash might not have their job if we're in the middle of one of those. But I get it. People are waiting around for these prices to go down, and I'm not saying they won't, James, but that's often a losing game if you're just waiting on the sidelines forever.
Especially because nobody really wants to catch the falling knife and all this. So if you're seeing prices go down, you're wondering where the bottom is. And so, yeah, that's sort of the catch-22 of this. People are wanting more affordability, but more affordability would probably come with all of these other issues, not to mention the fact that when people are seeing prices going down, they're probably going to be pressing the brakes themselves in all likelihood, even if they do have a job.
That's a good way to put it. No, you don't want to catch the knife. All right, James, you always give us some nuggets. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks so much.
All right, we'll wrap things. Oh, that's James Rodriguez, by the way, from Business Insider. Writes great stuff.